I want to encourage us to make this transition to open up our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in the New Testament as we've been reading through Lent. We're going to probably be in the New Testament for quite a few Sundays, so it'll be easy to find. But this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11, so that's where we'll jump in there. So let me just do a quick recap on a couple things that have been happening the last couple Sundays. So I've got kind of all four of them here. And Pastor Ben, you did a great job last week kind of just bringing us up to speed where we were at with the reading from Lent. And so every Sunday that you've been coming, there's something on your chair encouraging you to follow along with the reading. And if you haven't been, maybe this is the first Sunday you've been here in a while, that's cool. Just kind of jump in wherever we're at. You don't have to go back in time. So obviously we're reading here now. But as we're just reading through the Gospels, and then we're also praying for something specifically. So I want to encourage you to read. That's a great thing. But encourage you to pray as well. I mean, praying for our schools is awesome. And then this coming week, we're praying for all of the services for our community. You know, healthcare, police department, fire department. All these people need our prayers as well. So let's be praying for that. And if we were to look over last week's reading, just a kind of overarching theme here, I was chatting with my wife, Omley, quickly, and she made this great connection. She said, I see a lot of faith in their stories, and then we also see a lot of where the unfaith is and what the results are. So there's this contrast in these a lot of these stories. So that's great. Jesus continues to heal people. He is equipping his 12. He sends the 12 out that we even just, you know, Omley was reading this morning. He goes into his hometown. He's dishonored in a sense. Jesus feeds 5,000. Jesus walks on the water and calms a storm. Jesus teaches about, like, who is my mother and my brothers and how that kind of plays out. And then Jesus has, like, 72 kind of disciples. He's sending out two by two, sending them out two by two. So, whoa, that's a lot to cover. So let's just look at all of that. And so I preach a lot on those kind of thoughts there. But there's this one that I feel is like a middle marker. That we see Jesus in the beginning, he starts off his ministry, and then we're going to see at the end, you know, Jesus on the cross. But it just felt like there's this middle point here where Jesus runs into John's disciples. So John the Baptist is in prison. He sends his disciples to go ask Jesus a couple questions. And it feels like it's a recap or it's a reminder of all the things that have been happening. So that's where we pick up the story. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. Going to verse 6. So after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went out from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. Now when John the Baptist, heard in prison what Jesus was doing, now poor John couldn't go out and see what Jesus was doing because, again, he was in prison. He sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect somebody else? Oh, that's a great question. I think lots of people are still asking that question. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Not an interesting response, as Jesus would. You ask Jesus a question, he gives you a different answer, right? Are you the one that's the Messiah? Yes or it's like a yes or no question. And Jesus responds this way, what you hear and see. What is Jesus doing that we've been reading basically right up to all these chapters? What is he doing? Here we go. Verse 5. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Jesus knew that John would understand that answer. He knew that John would know to connect the dots in the Old Testament, would be like, if that's happening now on the planet, then we know that this is the Messiah. You don't have to say it. You don't have to have a badge. You don't have to show a card. I'm the Messiah. Watch my actions. Watch what's happening. That'll give you the answer. Isn't that wonderful to think about? I love the church as well. When we think about the church, like, how is your church doing? You know, you don't say it's nice or it's doing okay. You talk about the things that is happening, the things that are happening. Those are the things that you tell people. That's the story. Isn't that a great thought? I love those kind of thinking. How Jesus, I mean, that's from Jesus' own thinking, the way he presents it. It's brilliant. I love it. Good deep thoughts there. So there's the answer. Go back and report what you see in here. Let's continue reading here. This is the part I want to dissect afterwards, just verse by verse. I just wanted to kind of, you know, shed a little bit of light, pave a bit of a foundation there. So in verse 7, it says, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go into the desert to see? A reed swayed in the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? This is Jesus. Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send a messenger ahead of you, and you will prepare your way before you. I just want to pull this apart because so much is there. So much happens in those few verses, even those few words. So verse 7 here. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd. Jesus wants to honor John the Baptist here. And there's very few characters in the Bible that we read of where Jesus wants to honor these people. We talk about in the Old Testament, but here John is in the New Testament, and he's going to say some profound things about John. He wants to, you know, give him the thumbs up. Listen to what John said about Jesus and why he was honored, the things that came out of John's mouth. So if we flip over to John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, he must become greater, and I must become less. Now, what is that saying? It's just not saying like John is like, oh, I just need to be weaker and Jesus. He's actually honoring God. He's saying, God, I know that I am not sufficient. I need you living through me. He's saying that in a roundabout way. In Matthew chapter 11, or chapter 3, verse 11, John says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I love that thought. That's a whole other sermon there. But what he's saying, though, is that he is so worthy that I shouldn't even tie his shoes. You know, do you see how honoring John is of Jesus? So when Jesus shows up on the scene, he wants to talk about John the Baptist, and he says just some wonderful things that honor him. So if we take a closer look at that kind of honoring, that kind of thinking about honoring, in John chapter 12, verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. My Father will honor the one that, serves me. And so we know that John the Baptist served his calling, his purpose well. And so God wants to honor that. That's just, I love that thought. That they're humble. John is humble. John wants to honor Jesus. And in return, Jesus says, I want to honor you. And Jesus has that kind of a power. God has that kind of power. So when you're in heaven, God will honor the things that you served him in. And sometimes, which is cool here, on earth, you get honored before people, before men. That happens. We don't do it so that we can get honor here on earth. Our rewards are in heaven. We all understand that. But sometimes there's this wrinkle in here. Like, it feels like heaven opens up a little bit and says, watch what I want to say about this guy because he served me well. So let's look at just a couple things that come out of that. So Matthew chapter 7, or chapter 11, verse 7 again says, as John's disciples were leaving, he began to speak to the crowd. Now, when I read that in Matthew, I thought, as they were leaving, you know, thinking, they might have heard that. The disciple just kind of walking away like, oh, hey, hold on here. Let's just listen to what Jesus is going to say about John before we get too far away. But we see it really clearly here in Luke chapter 7, verse 24. It's the same story, same piece. It says after John's messengers, they actually left. You know, Luke's a little bit more kind of detailed. Like, okay, now that they're gone, Jesus is like, now I'm going to talk. Not behind his back, but, you know, I want to talk about John. So Jesus was not trying to flatter John either. He didn't go to prison and say these things about John to his face. He didn't say them to the disciples. He just said it to the crowd. There really is a fine line between praise and pride sometimes. And, you know, I feel that all the time too as a pastor. Sometimes you guys will say like, it's a great message, Pastor. You're going to say that about this one after, right? And, you know, have some fun with you. But, you know, I could just, you're right, it was a good message. You know, let it go to my head. But I love it when you guys come to me and you say, Pastor, when you said that, and I'll show you my notes, I never said that. God said that to you. That's why I know it's good. Because God said it. And that's what Jesus wants to do here for John. He just wants to build him up. He just wants to be a blessing. He wants to say, this guy's a good guy. Jesus is madly in love, you know, with every person. He really loves John as well. He doesn't want John to let it go to his head. He just wants to honor him because he's a good guy. What Jesus said concerning John was intended not only for his praise, because he wanted to lift John up, but also for the people listening. This is the great part. It's a profit to us as we hear about John, about the good guy that he was. It encourages us to stay steadfast and all these things that we're going to read about John the Baptist. The people had a reason to listen to John for a season. But then we find out, we see this, that for a season they went out to hear John, and so it was good for a season, and then they kind of fell away. And we see that so clearly here. John chapter 5, verse 35, it says, John was a lamp that burned and gave light. Well, doesn't that just resonate like somebody else we know? Burned like a light and gave. And he chose for, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. For a time. For a season. Oh, I've been in those kind of seasons before. You're like, yeah, God's okay. God's all good. And then there's times we see us, oh my word, just hallelujah, praise God, right? He's done something miraculous. So sometimes we go through seasons. So we've got to be reminded of that, though, to not be like something. And we're going to unfold that in just a moment. So Jesus asked them this question. He asked them three times the same question. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you go out there and listen to John? And so he asked them three different times. So we'll pick it apart here. Verse 7. So what did you go out to see in the desert? See, John preached in the wilderness, and people flocked in crowds. We read those stories to him. It was a remote place. It was super inconvenient to get there. Why would you go out of your way? I tried to find some cool slides. I couldn't find one. But where Jesus was or where the people were, if they wanted to go see John the Baptist, the difficult road that it was, the journey, the time that it took to get there, just to hear him. And we know that the religious leaders of the day, they're pretty dressed up and, you know, in a dress that I can't really explain to you, but just imagine, so me going hiking, like in this, not ideal, you know. And they went out to hear John the Baptist. They went out of their way. They inconvenienced themselves to hear the word. And Jesus is saying to them, why did you go out there and then stop listening to him? Why would you go out of your way and then not listen to what he had to teach you? If John's preaching was worth making so much effort to hear, surely it would be worth remembering what he said as he paved the way for Jesus. So that when people say, are you the Messiah? Well, John had already explained that to them. You already know the answer. Why have you forgotten? And so when we come to communion too, and I really want to challenge us every time we come to it, is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, so you're saved and you're set free. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever, oh, yes, Lord, oh, you know, like, whoo, hallelujah. You know, God's on the throne. He's alive. He's not dead. He rose again. You know, we got to remember these simplistic ABCs of the gospel. When we forget those things, we get beat up, we get torn down, and we lose our focus. We've got to just stay, you know, I feel like it's a simple message, but there's so much truth to it. Really, the greater the difficulty sometimes, the greater the breakthrough sometimes. You know, it was a difficulty to go hear John's message. And then they had a choice. Am I going to allow it to speak to me, or am I going to just kind of forget about it? Like it was a cool walk, you know, I had some friends to hang out with. There's a profit to hearing that message. If we don't realize that our sin put Jesus on the cross and that we need his forgiveness, we might just forget the thing in the first place. We might forget the whole reason why we've come here. The whole purpose of why God set us free. Because he has a plan for you. And so often, all these things that get thrown at us distract us from the truth or the purpose of what God and where he wants to take us. The plan that he has for us. The plan and the purpose. So good. Okay, let's look at the second time Jesus asked them in verse 8. If not, what did you go out to see again? And Jesus challenges them again. Why did you go into the desert? What were you hoping to see? Instead of listening to the words that you went out to hear from this unusually dressed man, you should have gone out and you could have had your soul being fed by John's wholesome instructions. But some came just for the hype of it. Some just came because it was the flashiest thing around. It was the newest thing on the market. It was the most trendy thing at the time. It was the coolest place to go. That was the reason they went out. not to be taught, but they just wanted to have something to talk about. Oh, isn't that a deep thought? They're just like, hey, I want to know what's the latest thing going on. I want to hear what's going on and give me the latest gossip. But I don't really believe it. I don't really want to hear it. But at least when I'm with my buddies and my friends, at least I'll feel like I fit in because I know what the lingo is. I know what this guy was about. Why would you go out of your way to listen to something like that? To follow something like that? You know, John the Baptist, just a complete hooligan if you looked at him, you know, physically out there. So the third time Jesus asked them again, what were you hoping to go? What were you hoping to see in verse 9? Those that attend and hear the word will also be held accountable to the word. That's a deep one. Whoa, I just feel like, oh, that, as the pastor, right, I'm communicating the word, I'm held accountable for that, for what I say. Like, that's a heavy thought. We're all accountable for that. You know, we worship God, we hear the spoken word, usually my wife reads it out, and I share the word with you. We're actually accountable for that now. And Jesus is saying, hey, when you guys went out to see John the Baptist, you know, whatever, and I don't know what your intentions were, when you heard it, you're accountable for it now. And I love it when I meet with somebody and I'm able to share the gospel with them. And I usually invite them, hey, let's meet later on. Maybe you need a little bit of help here. I love the thinking in my mind. It's like, they'll never be able to stand before Jesus and say, no one ever told me. You say, oh, Jesus will be like, remember, remember, remember. All these times I put that in your life for a reason. I love those moments. I never want to miss them. We think that really sometimes, you know, when the sermon's done, it's all over. You know, that was a good Sunday morning. Now we're going to go on with the rest of my day. But it's just the beginning of what God wants to do inside of you. When you came and you, whether it was worship, maybe it was the worship side. Oh, I just needed to hear that song. It was so good. Or maybe it was the reading of the scripture. Oh, that just touched my heart. Or maybe it's at the end of the service, I'm going to come pray with you. Or maybe it's at some point, it's what I said at some point in my sermon to you. Whatever it is, take it away. You got fed this morning. And then you live it out. Take it out of these four walls. It's not the four walls. Oh, the church is just the four walls. Like, we got to take it out. That's the great thing. When they heard John's words, then they didn't live it out, though. They just heard it. It was good for a season. On to the next thing. Next hot topic, right? It's the overarching reason why we get together is to see his name lifted high. Okay, let's see how Jesus really wants to honor John here. Let's you know, pull this apart a little bit deeper. Shed more, a couple more layers off this onion. They don't really know how to answer him. You know, when Jesus is questioning them, what did you go out to see? What are you hoping to see? They're like, just, you know, I don't know. It's Jesus, you know, I better not say something stupid, right? You know, I've seen what happens when Peter says something a bit off, you know, get behind me, Satan. So Jesus says, I tell you what a man John the Baptist was. Was he like this? And I just love the contrast back and forth. Was he like a reed swayed in the wind, swayed by the wind? Was he like that? The answer we know is no, but John was the opposite of that. He had a firm foundation. He was a solid man, not one that was swayed by the wind and all these kind of ideas. He was one who was not wavering in his principles. He preached and taught it so well. You know, he was a bit of a, seemed irregular kind of a guy, but he was steadfast, he was consistent, and that's who John was. Never wavered. We don't read him wavering. Those who are like reeds, Jesus is saying, they sway in the wind when their foundation isn't good. They're not solid. These are the kind of people that Jesus is referring to. So we pick up that thought in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. There will be when we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. John never listened to any of that. He knew he had a calling on his life and he just followed it to a T. When we will no longer be like infants. John was like, I'm not an infant. I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. Here we go. Think about what John had to face though. The applause of people. Imagine that, just all of a sudden, it's like a mega church. All these people are coming out. He's baptizing all kinds of people, you know, religious leaders and, you know, all walks of life, poor people. He's just baptizing them. Get ready for Jesus to come, right? I mean, in one sense, yeah, John the Baptist, you know, coolest guy around right now. And in the other sense, though, the Herod, the ruler of the day, he hated John. You know, some of the religious leaders, ooh, they hated John. And so he's got this contrast of two different things going on where people are praising him and people are hating him and throwing him in prison. And we know that he'll end up eventually losing his head for that. But again, he never wavered from that. So no matter what weather storm we're going through, where we're feeling like things are going super well right now, this is great, or we feel the tension of the world or the tension of the enemy pulling us or dragging us or beating us up, he stayed the course the whole time. And that's the reason Jesus made that point right there. That's a great thought. Then he said something one day and something, you know, he didn't say something one day, sorry, and then something different the next day. It was constantly consistent what John would say. So in John chapter 1, verse 20, he said, he did not fail to confess, but confess freely, I'm not the Christ, right? John the Baptist didn't confess that he was Jesus. He didn't confess he was anything besides paving the way for God. And a couple chapters later in John chapter 3, verse 28, you yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I am sent before him. But I am called. I'm not the Messiah, but I sure have a plan and I sure have a purpose and God has it for me. Isn't that great? John was a self-denying man. You know, we read about that. And that's why Jesus pointed that out. Was he dressed in fine clothes? Because those kind of people deserve to be in palaces, and two thoughts come from there. John was like dressed like a bum. I hate to say that. He was dressed like a homeless guy, eating honking grasshoppers, eating honey. He just had nothing. Lived outside, lived in the bushes, lived out in the wilderness. That's who John the Baptist was. He never cared about, you know, the nice things of the world or having a nice, I don't know what he'd have back then, a nice donkey, I guess, and a nice mud house or whatever the heck it was. He had none of that. He just lived outside and just ate off the wilderness, lived off of whatever God was going to bring down, you know, to him. That's who John was. So he wasn't swayed by those kind of things. He didn't care about those things. He didn't care what he looked like or, oh my gosh, what he possibly smelled like. Who knows what was going on. But those things he didn't care about. And the second reason Jesus points out about clothing is because he says that the Son of God didn't come and was born in a palace to somebody that was in fine clothes, or that I had a king talk about me, the Messiah coming, because he didn't want to be connected to the things of this world. Jesus wanted to be, you know, stand apart from that. I didn't come to set up my earthly kingdom. I came to set up my heavenly kingdom, and I don't need all the riches of the world. Those are two overarching things of why Jesus made that point. I just love that. That's so good. The greatest honor of all, though, is this last one here about John's ministry. It was the greatest thing that Jesus kind of honored him for. In verse 9 here, it says, then what did you go out to see? A prophet? He's asking the question. The answer is this. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. More than a prophet. I mean, between him and Jesus, even, you know, was referred to as a prophet, and more than a prophet, and, you know, Jesus, like, what else is left in between there? So John said of himself, he was not the prophet, that great prophet, the Messiah. And now Jesus says about John that he's more than a prophet. Jesus is saying that John is greater than any other prophet. Really, the forerunner of Jesus is really the greatest prophet that he's referring to here. And so when you think about the Old Testament prophets, when we would flip back, I mean, we're in Matthew right now, we can just easily get to some minor prophets and some major prophets, like just right here. He says that they're greater than that because all of those guys spoke of a day that would come. They spoke of a time in the future that Jesus would show up. John here didn't talk like that. Remember, he even just pointed, there's the Lamb of God right there. Not talking about a day that would come. He actually saw him with his own eyes. Isn't that a great prophet? And that's why he makes that statement there. Bigger than the Old Testament prophets. So John said of himself in John chapter 1, verse 23, that there's this connection again. I don't want to put John the Baptist on the same playing field as Jesus. Jesus stands alone. We understand that. But John the Baptist was a pretty solid guy, so we can take some teaching away from him because of this as well. So John said of himself in John chapter 1, verse 23, of course he would say that, I'm joking, but John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I'm the voice and the one calling the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. He's quoting Isaiah 40, Old Testament. Then we know Jesus would do something similar in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed. And Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61. So we see kind of a similarity in a sense, that these guys show up on the scene and they say, those things that were talked about in the Old Testament, I am here to fulfill. And no Old Testament prophet could say that about himself. I just came and look what's been written about me, all these things. Only John the Baptist and Jesus could say those kind of things. Isn't that just a great connection there? Let me close with this thought here, because we got to be careful of time here. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judah, verse 2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's the message. I mean, he said a lot of things, I'm sure, out there in the wilderness, but that's the overarching message. Repent. So every time we come to a new day, and I think we forget that, and that's kind of my overarching message today. It's like, don't forget, why are we here? Why are we doing this? That every day is a new day, one, and every day we need to confess to Jesus all of our mistakes and be healed and be set free. That's the overarching message. The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. Repent. And as we do that, it's almost the beginning of our prayer. You start your prayer life off every day. Oh, God, just thank you for this new day. I'm so sorry about whatever happened yesterday. I'm so sorry for all the divine appointments you had that I missed. I'm so sorry for the way I acted. I'm so sorry. All those kind of things. You repent of all this. You confess those things. And then you begin to pray for whatever it is. And so we've got a list of things we could encourage you to pray for. But that's the message of the gospel. That's like, why do we come to church? Why do we open up our Bibles? Why do we believe in God? These are the things that God has called us to do. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 4, going back there. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. And my prayer for us is that we hear and see things changing in our lives, that there is actual maturity and growth and all these kind of things. So that as a church, that we're not just hearing about it, we're actually implementing it. We're actually seeing change in our lives. Because for crying out loud, if we don't need it, we need it all the time. I understand that. But it just seems like a heavy season right now. It just seems like there's a lot of things going on right now. That don't just mask over. Don't stop pretending. Stop hiding it. Stop letting that big, you know, don't swallow it. Mental health is on the rise. Coming out of COVID has opened up new things for us to be talking about. But as a church, we should have always been that way. Always repenting, always asking for help. We're supposed to be the front runners on these things. Think about this. Coming out of COVID, coming out of restrictions, is a great, like one of the greatest opportunities the church has. When even the government is saying we should actually spend money on mental health, they're recognizing that it's actually something the church has always been offering and always been doing. So we have an opportunity to say, hey, I understand that mental health is on the rise, but we actually have an answer. We actually have the solution to all that. We can actually help you get free. And sometimes it'll be a miraculous instant thing, and sometimes it'll be a journey and a process. And sometimes you might need to use doctors, and sometimes you might need to use medication. But whatever it is, you'll feel better. Because if you just ignore it, that could be the foolish thing that we could ever do. It would be like what Jesus was referring to these people that went out to hear John the Baptist. They heard the good news and they ignored it. This is where your life begins. You hear the good news, you implement it, and you put it into practice. That's the story. That's the gospel. That's the message this morning. Let me close our time in prayer as I invite the worship team up. Lord, we are just so in awe of your word. We're so encouraged by how you taught John's disciples, how you taught your disciples, how you ministered to those crowds of people. And Lord, we want to receive from you. We don't want to listen to any other voice. We only want to hear from heaven. So thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.